listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
Tonight on 60 Minutes, Rick and Rollo discuss the news.
Are you doing Peter Harvey, Canberra?
I'm not sure, but he talked to it 60 Minutes. Tonight on
60
Minutes.
He did, didn't he?
Yes.
Yeah. All right, I've got a whole bunch of newspapers in front of me, so I'm here with Rick. And Rick is Exoteric 64, used to be Exoteric 64, but now you are just Rick.
Exoteric. Rick, yeah, Rick. No, I'm Exoteric.
Yeah. What did you think of our last fart podcast on, we didn't do it on fartpodcast.com.
It was good up until, sorry, it was terrible to the beginning, because I've got too much to say to start with. And
yeah,
going on there and being shepherded about, I can't think of what to say. And then I fall asleep after about an hour and a half. So the last half was fantastic with Tom Golden Skidmark, who had terrible sound issues, but he still came across. Yeah, he's got a booming voice, so he overrode that. And an ounce of salt, who was fantastic as usual. He's got a wonderful voice, and he sang a lot. So the last half was fantastic. The one that I was part of was no good at all. But I was interested in what Heroes said about his using the disability card, which is, that was a good info. Good info. That's 10 out of 10 there, brother.
Big shout out to Heroes. Okay, so let's be quite clear here. I've met you in real life many times. I've met the Golden Skidmark from,
yes,
and I've met Velocet. I've met who else? Del Quar.
Frank.
I've met Frank. Yeah, I've met him in real life. All these guys. I met them in real life. I've met John Laws in real life. He's shaken my hand twice. Yeah, so
I bet he didn't know who you were though when he did it.
No, he didn't. But it's a shame that he won't take my calls anymore, because let me say it again. When his wife Caroline, and I met her too, and I kissed her on the cheek. Yeah, she's lovely. She's a lovely girl, lovely lady, and yeah, so nice to me. And I'm repeating myself, but there you go.
No, that's good.
But Rick, the first time I met you, we're similar height. When we met,
you came inside my head.
God, Skidmark, like, how big is that guy? He's a monster.
He is.
But a gentle.
Gentle giant.
Gentle.
I don't know. He might not be gentle, but he's certainly got opinions, and that's good. That's what we like. And he's got the best
opinions. Are you kidding? the guy is awesome.
He is. That's what I said.
He's not an anti-Semite though. But what the fuck is anti-Semitic anyway?
Yeah, I don't understand.
Doesn't like people being roughed over. I mean, he's just a legend guy. A really good guy. Really good guy. Let's go through some of these newspapers. Which one I'm going to pick up today? All right. Let's pick this one up.
Can we just tell the listeners that Rollo steals the newspapers? He does not pay for the newspapers.
That's true.
So we are not sponsored by the Murdoch News Press or the Fairfax News Press. We are stealing.
I've got it. Hey, I can smell it. Hey, have you ever smelt newspapers? I remember what they used to smell like. Yes. Comic books.
A sidetrack to the conversation. And this COVID-19, the greatest con ever, has destroyed most of the what was left of independent newspapers around Australia because of these laws. So we're now basically getting our news from Channel 9 the number nine, and we're getting the news from a group that are funded that directly descended from the Blavatsky's organisation. The what are they called? Or anyway, them. They own 2GB and sold it to a conglomerate, but are still they are involved deep down the deep inside it. So we're getting a very biased news these days, very biased. Mm. So go ahead and read what newspaper you're going to read.
Is Brian Wilshire still with us, Brian?
No, yeah, of course he is, but he got sacked because.
What's his take on this? COVID.
He's silenced. He's been silenced, and I keep saying to these people, or I keep saying to other people, why don't people like Alan Jones and John Laws do a podcast rather than, you know, and they can get huge sponsorship, make just as much money, and say what they want to say,
all he wants to do is talk to Scott Morrison. When he talks to Scott Morrison, right, okay. I understand.
Scott Morrison is amazing, 100%, I reckon.
But there's nothing wrong with that. We know...
different level. Different level. We're not... I'm not talking about...
Yeah, anything. Different.
I'm talking about the, I'm talking about the 33 degree.
Keep going with what you were going.
Brian got sacked. He was the guy that published the three really good books, the Fine Print and Fine Print 2, and another book about Christianity called Monday School, which was going through all the parts of the Bible that allegedly contradicted themselves. You know, the things about eating, you know.
Winston Churchill read the Bible. I don't know if he got, because we got the Good News Bible here in Australia. He was a bit of a, I don't know what your thoughts on Winston Churchill is.
Oh, I can't.
But he said he read it in 2 weeks. He read it in 2 weeks. How do you read that fucking thing in 2 weeks?
Oh, I couldn't do it. See, I suffer from a mild dyslexia, and I cannot sit and read things. I can read bits of it. Like, I started at the end. When I started reading the Bible years ago, in the 80s, I started in Revelations. That was the only part that really interested me, and then I went back to look at Daniel. I love the future stuff, you know what I mean? But you do need to read the whole thing. But I can't. The print's too small to start with. I'd rather listen to it being read to me by someone and I can comprehend it. Yeah.
Good point. Hey, Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins. I mean, as much as I find him a creepy motherfucker, there's a lot about him that I like. He married Lala Ward. He's an atheist, obviously. Richard Dawkins.
Who did he marry?
Lala Ward, who played Romana on Doctor Who.
Okay.
Well, yeah. That's
okay. So
yeah, she's a little kitty too, and not so much now, but we all get old. Yeah.
He came from a family that made their money on the slave trade 200 years ago.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
yeah, but him and Daniel Dennett and old mate who. Who died of, you know, he took the poisonous cancer treatment. You know, the guy that smoked all the cigarettes.
Christopher Hitchens.
Yeah, he was great. I mean, seriously, you listen to those guys. And he was really good mates with Douglas Adams.
He was very close.
He was really good mates with him.
He read his eulogy at the funeral.
Yeah.
He wrote the eulogy. He wrote the eulogy.
Why not?
The Ugiligi. What did he say?
I fucking love Douglas Adams. I fucking love the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy is my Bible. I fucking love it.
There's a lot in the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. And the whole thing don't panic. You know, don't panic is a good thing. I like that.
What?
You know, the front says don't panic.
Exactly.
It's a good thing.
He had everything that, don't panic. And look, he was a smug git. Don't worry about it. Like,
we did it on the fart podcast.
You remember the line? Remember the line he said? He goes, when he came to Australia, as there were only two books in the bookshelf, they're worth reading, and I've written them both. It was so smoke. Good.
But
yeah, you're a Kiwi. You're a Kiwi right. Puff, and I'm an Australian fag.
Yeah, Kiwi Puff.
Yeah, but we both know. I tell you what, we both know. The people that are on Fakeologists or on Hoax Syndicate or on
Hoax Syndicate.
Fakeologists.
Who's Hoax Syndicate?
Hoax Syndicate is what Bellaset's doing now with.
I'm joking. I know who that
yeah,
is.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, you can joke. You can joke.
Yeah. But yeah, I haven't.
I am the joker. I put the fucking the stuff didn't come off for 3 days when I was in Colombia. I dressed up as Joker. Yeah, yeah. And I put the whole face makeup. It took me friggin' ever. When Joaquin Phoenix lost all the weight to actually play that role, I would imagine, you know, that you have to have such self-discipline. It's like Tamara Morrison, who had to beef up Jake the Mutt. Yeah, yep. What was it called? The movie. Jake.
Once Were Warriors.
Once Were Warriors. Yeah, fucking.
He also because he's only 5'9" or whatever, 5'8".
Yeah,
he said he needed to look big and tough, so he did weight training, but he put on the biggest pair of boots he could find that made him taller. So it took him up to, you know, 5'11" or whatever, because he did look.
And when Rena Owens went into his face and, what the fuck are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And he reads with his finger on the lines.
Yeah, brilliantly done.
The book, the book that they taped it back together and you heard that bull roarer come in, and that bull roarer, and then he goes, talk about betrayal, that's fucking betrayal.
Yeah.
And I listened to the audio, the guy that wrote the book.
Yeah.
He said he didn't want to put that bit in, that end bit, but that was the best bit.
Oh, yeah, no, it was a very powerful movie. I went to see that at the cinema.
He turned out really well. The guy that played Uncle Bully actually did really well. And I can imagine, you know, fuckwits who would look at him in a pub or something, like, you know, people that you meet in the pub, and you played a bad guy role, and they want to punch you out. No, it's just a character.
You're talking about Cliff Curtis, who played Uncle Bully.
Yeah, Cliff. Yeah. He did really well.
He went straight to Hollywood and probably made more money than...
Well done.
Maybe not much.
Yeah.
Tamara Morrison,
I remember afterwards he did a thing with, that lovely Pamela Anderson. He did a movie with her.
Yeah, it was called
He didn't choose right.
Rollo. It was called Barbois.
Yeah, that's it. You got it. Yeah, he didn't choose right, where his agent or his manager should have.
Yeah, it was a big
anyway. He's going to play Boba Fett in the new Mandalorian season,
which I enjoyed. My son said, "Watch this," and I thought it was good. It reminded me of a
your kid's great.
It reminded me of a
you pull them up
wrestling.
Well.
Mm. They like similar stuff, but they think I'm mad, of course. But anyway.
Oh, well, you are a little bit mad, but I mean, seriously, when it comes to spaghetti westerns, Clint Eastwood.
Well, that was fantastic.
I think he's still with us. Yeah, Clint, if you're listening.
He said he'd be tuning in about, what's the time now? He should be listening. And also, the Queen will be listening in another 15 minutes, so when you'll hear some music.
hello, ma'am.
We have to stand on our chair when she starts listening.
Oh, do we?
Because she'll be watching...
I'm not afraid of her. I'm not afraid of Harry. I'm not afraid of... You did bump off Princess Diana. Yeah, you did bump her off.
I heard a great joke. I said, what do you do if you cross Queen Elizabeth and Prince Philip? And the answer is you get killed in a tunnel in Paris. Something like that.
Why not?
What happens if you, cross Prince Philip and quit, you know, whatever? Anyway, so what are the news? What's on the newspapers?
Let me grab the newspapers. So, I already read this one, but let me read it again.
Which newspaper is it?
He was loved by many, loathed by some, feared by politicians across the land. After 35 years, and behind the microphone, most of the time, the broadcast mountain. Who am I talking about?
Alan. Sir Alan.
Alan. Not Alex. Not Alex. Alan.
Who I suggest they modelled Alex Jones off Alan Jones. Because if you ever look at them, they've both got swollen up, ugly looking faces. And they carry on and jump up and down. And they've got the same, very similar sounding name. Alan Jones, Alex Jones, Alan Jones, Alex Jones.
Sure.
And Jones, Alan Jones controlled the right. Yeah, you know, we don't believe in right-left politics here, but we understand there is a right-left, and, you know, for the normal people. And he totally...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
Hi, I'm the Phoenician from Kentucky. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Who was that from Kentucky?
The Phoenician. Who? The Phoenician.
Phoenician. All right, okay. So Jones' $4 million farewell bill... And I think Ab was right. I mean, $4 million. I mean, I liked Alan Jones. I mean,
That's $4 million.
There are a lot of things I didn't like about him, but there are a lot of things I like. I mean, I'm not doing a John Laws thing here.
Up his bum.
Yeah, wasn't that funny? Because when Caroline died, he came to the funeral, and and Ab's there going, "Oh, you know, they're two sides of the same coin," type thing. Whereas, I think this is the way it is, Rick. A lot of people, I used to know John Tingle. I used to live next door to John Tingle, right?
And didn't he strangle you?
Yeah, he strangled me, yeah, like up against the wall. Yeah.
He was a very popular radio announcer when I first came here. He then became a politician.
Yeah, the shooter's buddy.
And he tried to strangle Rollo one night, which is understandable if you live next to a Rollo. But what was it like? Was it your politics?
Yeah.
Or were you screaming at John Laws' phone number like
No, what? No. What it was, I was young. I was 18. I was living on the North Shore, and I just happened to be... I knew radio, but I didn't know John Tingle if I fell over him. And
he had a fantastic voice. He's a
nice guy. Yeah.
Yeah, he was a very good
voice. Yeah, I mean, I know voices, and I love voices. Like, I mean, Brian Henderson, Brian Wilshere, John Laws, Alan Jones. I mean, Alan Jones didn't have the best voice. He just...
He had a terrible voice, but what he did have was he had a really high intellect, and he was a what would you call him? He was an influencer, and people loved.
Yes.
I mean, honestly, even though he was he wasn't married. I remember talking to this guy, an older guy in this job one day, and I said, "You know, he's gay." And he goes, "He's not gay." He goes, "He's just too busy to get married." That's what he said to me. You know, and I thought, you got no hope, have you? You know, like, but I mean, not that that should make any difference, but the fact that he was a very campers are of tents, but no one seemed to realise that. Listened to him, they just listened to his politics. So
there's dust in this fucking roof. There's dust. Yeah. Hey,
Doug Mulray used to have Gloria.
Oh, Doug Mulray.
And Gloria.
What a guy.
Doug, look, I've got a terrible problem. My friend Keith, that lives with me, he's got problems with his melons. He's got problems with his melons. And you know, kids have started. It was like a parody of Alan.
You do that so well.
And
fuck, you remind me of who was the fella that I liked on 2UE in the morning?
Mike Carlson.
Mike Carlton, yeah, fuck me. Doug Mulray, you do it so well. Mike Carlton could do voices.
He's a man of 1,000 voices, 100%. Very good, very good. And the guy, though, that that used to do Gloria on the Doug Mulray show, who is around now to this day doing stuff on 2CH, I forget his name, but he...
2CH, I remember that. That's got the Sydney Harbour Bridge as the part of the logo, right?
Yeah. Play the old 60s music and 50s music.
Yeah.
But that guy that... did the voices of Gloria.
Clive Robertson? Clive?
No. He was a producer that had a gift of mimicking. Because my favourite thing is mimicry. I love people that can do different voices. And Mike Carlton's parody show, the news review, Friday News Review, where he parodied the week of whatever happened and did all the voices himself. And that was my favourite. I love that stuff. Anyway, so look, listen.
Yeah.
We won't alienate people. Go through to the news. What did you... So forget about...
Okay.
We know Alan Jones retired. Do something COVID.
Yeah, we do.
Let me grab the top. Okay. Here we go. You sound like a pirate.
Let me grab the Sydney Morning Herald from the April 4th. Australia on track to avoid catastrophe. Okay, this is by Rachel Klung and Deborah Snow. Australia is on track to avoid the disastrous COVID-19 outbreaks
that they told us we were going to have
in Italy.
They told us it was going to be a catastrophe, and they were completely wrong. They were lying. There was no catastrophe. There was no virus. They just lied to us about it's fear porn, like the bushfires, fear porn. You know, a natural event that was sparked off by arson, let me tell you that. Those newspapers and ABC have been scaring the fuck out of us for the last 3 months with this con.
Well, my favourite person, when it comes to ABC, it was Virginia Trioli. Remember her?
Oh, no. Yeah, I know. She's still on. She's terrible. I mean, honestly, look, I can't listen to that show without a bucket in one hand and suppositories, you know, Stematil on the other to try and calm herself down. But yet people love her. They think she's so fantastic because she's an intelligent woman. But she's totally, you know, global warming, Greta Thunberg.
Absolutely. And when the sports guy, when she threw to the sports guy and he said, he hadn't taken his vaccine, his flu vaccine.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And she ripped the shit out of him.
Unbelievable.
And he was cucked. He was cucked. Because he should have gone, well, I don't want to fucking, I'll put a needle in my arm if I want.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, the way, she really cucked the fuck out of him. And now look at us. We don't have any sport whatsoever because of that Bill Gates motherfucker or fucking Anthony Fauci.
Well, so, more concerning for me is the fact that in New Zealand, what they've done, they've, you know, because they think that they're holier than thou. That, I mean, I'd reject my birthright of being a New Zealander because of the way that they've carried on. They've swallowed the lie. They think that they're better than everyone else. They've gone in hard. They've sent 41% of their own small businesses down the gurgler, and they've got this virtue signalling hag, you know, in charge that everyone loves, and they love them over here. You know, all the lefties here go, oh, why can't we have someone like her? You know, and Americans say the same thing. Why isn't she in charge? We'd rather have her than Donald Trump. And she's a rabid junior. She was a junior socialist leader of the Socialist Party back in her day. She went and worked for Tony B. Lyer, the worst prime minister, or one of the worst prime ministers England's ever seen, who followed forth with the fake invasion the invasion of Iraq and destruction of a beautiful country after 9/11, and we can talk about that again, but it's just horrendous to see this woman being the role model for so many people. And today, this is the worst thing I've heard, right? She came out and she said, she did a news briefing with the media, and she said, there's a lot of rumours about COVID-19, and I'm trying to address them all, but let me tell you now, you're getting the only truth you will hear is from me. And she said that live on a broadcast. It's on YouTube. I've shared it onto fakeologist.com, where she's caught out saying that she is the only, you know, her party is the only truth you're going to listen to. The rest of it's lies. So Dr. Fauci's true. All of the, you know, not Donald Trump, but...
My phone just... My phone just blew out. I missed everything you've just said. Keep going.
Oh, no, I was talking about the speech that Jacinda Ardern made live today at Parliament in front of the media, saying that she is the only truth speaker that you should listen to. She's, you know, literally said that. And YouTube, people have jumped on YouTube and shared it. And to me, that you're looking at blatant tyranny when you've got one person saying, I'm the only person to look, the Ministry of Truth, you know, straight out of
absolutely, you know,
84.
Yeah. So that was Richard Burton. Fuck, God, that was a great film. And John Hurt was in that film too.
It was. Now, interestingly, you were talking about War of the Worlds, which I will bring up about this whole scam. That Richard Burton narrated War of the Worlds. You were talking about the last supposedly the Fakeologist Australia Roundtable podcast on last Saturday. We're talking about how fantastic, because that was a brilliant musical, fantastic, you know, came out in 78.
Jeff Wayne's
War of the Worlds, absolutely fantastic. Now, the whole thing of War of the Worlds, when it was written by H.G. Wells, of course, and it was used as a experiment in 1930 something or other, they did a live broadcast of War of the Worlds, and instead of saying we are doing a live thing of it, they just cut into the normal music program and said, we have something to announce. We have something to announce. There's, you know, strange stars have started, you know, crashing into parts of whatever. And then they went live to Orson Welles, who was pretending to be a journalist, saying, you know, these things have arrived and da-da-da. And they went through the whole War of the Worlds scenario without telling the people that you were just listening to a radio play.
It was more insidious than that. What it was, as far as I remember, that they put the radio stations with really crappy music, so everybody in America turned to one station, but they missed the beginning that it was a play, that we're taking the piss. And they believed it, and they started shooting up the fucking towers and, water towers.
The water towers
got it. Yeah, I think James Cameron, if you go and listen to James Cameron, did a, not that I like the guy too much, but I like Titanic. I thought Titanic was great.
That was another fluff piece of bullshit, you know, hiding the real truth of that story. But anyway, what happened with War of the Worlds, it got exposed a bit. So to me, even though, you know, Jan Ervin's obviously backflipped about 30 times and he's the worst 911, covers up for 911 all the time, but him and Hans Utter did a 1 or 2 hour expose on the War of the Worlds operation, because it was an operation, the original broadcast, and it was run out of Princeton University. And they went in there and got, he went in there and got letters between Aldous Huxley and the radio networks, and Aldous Huxley and so-and-so, and they were just eager to find out how it worked and, you know, how this, you know, by how we can Why scare not? Public, how to scare the public.
Of course.
And so
of
this
course. I mean, that's mainstream media. Okay, we're going to do the radio, we're going to do the newspaper thing.
Okay.
So let's go to Monday, May. Monday, May 11, 2020. The time of coronavirus. This is from the Newcastle Herald, the voice of the hunter.
Yep.
Social distancing may have been enforced, but it was Mother's Day, and that brought the Navarro family closer together in Newcastle on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Brooks Hill, Emma Navarro, was reunited with her daughter, Isla Rose, after missing 10th birthday. The COVID lockdown said Isla Rose has been staying with her grandmother, Isla Rose.
I think they call
Isla. Isla. And for the due to the pandemic, all three generations reunited for the occasion. Oh, what a good story!
I've got tears rolling down my eyes.
I will take a photo of the look at the colour on this newspapers. Do you remember? Let me ask you a question, Rick. Do you remember when newspapers went from black and white to colour?
Oh yeah, it was the 80s. Late '80s, I'd say.
Yeah, it was the late '80s. Yeah, I remember. They only did one page. But then it was another decade, and then they became full color. And you go, God, you know how much it cost to, you know, to buy a ink your printer. Yeah.
How much it cost? Yeah, so much. But what they did, right, is they removed the typeset. So back in the day, you had a I mean, I'm a prolific newspaper reader. My favourite thing is old newspapers. I collect old newspapers. I go into libraries and ask to read old newspapers. That's one of my things, right? Because I like finding stories, and it's the best way of finding things. You know, it gives you the. And back in the day, you had a typeset team of, it could have been 15 people working on one newspaper. They all had to, every individual letter had to be put into the timber printing things, whatever. So each letter was like a little poured piece of metal. That sounds like me putting bottles away.
Here you go.
So yeah, typeset. So every letter was individually placed in it. It wasn't done on a computer screen like they do now.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so right. the cost of doing a colour thing would be almost impossible. To a normal newspaper. So you used to be able to use newspapers to clean windows. Now, if you'd use the newspaper to clean a window, you'll destroy a window.
And wrap chips, remember?
Fish and chips. Fish and chips were wrapped in newspaper. Absolutely.
Yeah, but then someone said, oh, it's unhygienic. Yeah, and then, it's on social justice warrior.
No, well, it probably was, actually, because it's full of kerosene. So what they did is they used to put a clear piece of, like a wax paper down, wrap the chips and chips in there, and then wrap it in the newspaper. But, yeah, that was a thing up until, recently. But that's gone now, so that you don't see fish and chips.
Yeah, I remember when I used to sit at the sideline at a football match. And you could smell the creosote that they did the black lines to kill the grass. Oh man, how much creosote, damage that did me?
Creosote's a nice smell. I like that. That's what we used to print on.
You did?
Yeah, okay. I was a painter, you know, on and off, then worked for my father, and so I used to creosote timber fences and it would turn them brown. Mm-hmm. And yes, it's the same. It's a kind of oil.
What would creosote do? It would stop the timber from
rotting, I guess, and stop
rotting. Yeah, because once you cut it, you know, it's dead basically. Yeah.
And when creosote was rolled on the football fields as a line marker because it would kill the grass.
Isn't it nice when there's not 20 people in the live stream?
Oh, no, I'm telling you, I can't. The Saturday night's a disaster for me. I've got too much to say, and when there's someone directing the conversation, like the fakeologist.com, it's good, but what happened last week, it sounded fantastic at the last half when people were just free-talking, because that's all I want to do. You can go on a different train of thought and move around and without being someone saying, oh, no, that's enough from you.
It's like Clive Robertson. When you speak to him at 4 in the morning,
yeah,
it was fantastic. And he'd give you all the time in the world. He would just give you all the time in the world. Yeah,
very, very.
And I, and Clive's still with us, isn't he? Clive Robinson.
He is. Yeah. He is. And he's a very good friend of a friend of mine. So I could actually somehow contact him. Years ago, or when we first started doing the show with Delisette, I said to him, these guys must be sitting around dying to talk. Like, I seen Doug Mulray on a ferry when I was going to get a ferry. That guy is still alive. He's still got a mind and intellect. Why is he not doing a podcast? I just don't understand it. Why is Clive Robertson not doing a podcast? You know, if we can do it, why can't they? You know, it's like these guys have got incredible voices and intellects. And when you do a podcast, you can say what you want to say. Who gives a fuck? You know, here we go.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Thank you, Belzit. Thank you. HoaxSyndicate.com.
Have you heard that jingle.
I'm such a huge fan of his. Yeah. Such a great.
We know that. You know, you've been blowing vape up his bum for about 10 years.
He's a vape. He loves his vapes. Yeah. He said, if you drink that stuff that he gets from New Zealand, because you're a Kiwi, he said, if you drink that, you'll be dead in a second. Like, that you can't get in Australia. You pour into your vapes. It's got nicotine in it.
I would never. Ever use chemicals like that. I mean, I think vaping is clearly not good for you, as far as I'm concerned. I think it's a chemical. A sidebar here. I remember this time last year, that all of a sudden there was this mystery illness affecting vapors, causing pneumonia and really bad upper respiratory illnesses. That was a very strange thing that came up, and they blamed vaping on it. So, and it was definitely last year. I had a cough that was the worst cough I've ever had, and I had it for 10 weeks. Right? If I had this now, I'd be marched into the COVID-19 tent and intubated. You know what I mean? So there were some really nasty flus going around up till December last year that are a bit of a mystery. I don't know what causes them. I could say it was
Let me tell you. Me and you, Rick, weren't born yesterday. When my wife's mother took the flu shot, and she and her face swelled up, and her eyes would turn yellow, and it wasn't makeup; it was real. I said,
she got injected with poison.
This has fucked you up. This has fucked you up. And do you know what? Next year she took it again.
Believe
it? I went. This has fucked you up.
I know more.
You're obviously allergic. You're obviously allergic to this. Don't fucking take a goddamn needle.
Now I've talked.
The only needle I ever took, you know, I was vaccinated when I was a kid. Was when I was on heroin. Yeah, when I was doing the H. Johnny Cash.
Was he whacking up smack? I don't know if he did.
Big time.
I thought he was just addicted to uppers and downers, like Elvis.
Now here's
another one. Sidebar. Elvis.
Yeah.
The whole name. Has anyone been called Elvis before he was called Elvis? Like that was the biggest name. And I look at it now as an anagram because I've got a bit of dyslexia. It's Evil S, you know what I mean? It's Evil S, you know what I mean? It's an anagram to me.
I hear.
And that name is the biggest name on the planet. I mean, I don't think there's a bigger star.
My mother loved him. If she got the chance to sit on his face and wriggle, she would have. My mother fucking... And every time I went to my mother's place and... She would have. What's your favorite? Do you have any? Elvis movies are great. Yeah. What was it? The Colonel. The Colonel that he wanted to do more serious movies. He died too young. He died at 42, wasn't it? 42 when he was
allegedly
on the toilet. On the toilet. taking a shit.
But he was the guy that they first said fake death. Fake death. That was same with Paul McCartney. When people go on about the Paul is dead, that was a thing in the 60s. I can remember my cousin saying,
"Oh yeah, right.
You know, it was you know,
yeah, plastic maca, plastic maca, plastic yeah. maca." Ab did an interview with her a couple of times. She yeah, was like, but you look at Paul McCartney's face; they stretched it. And Paul McCartney played right-hand guitar, and then after 66, when he died...
66, funny, that date, 66.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. And then...
You know what else came out in 66? The plans for 911, plans for the Twin Towers.
Oh, really? Oh, okay, yeah. Oh, mate.
And Rosemary's Baby. And the song.
Oh, Rosemary's Baby. Oh, what a great film that was. Yeah,
that was a freaky, freaky film, that one. I remember watching
it. Yeah, but it's good to watch. It's good to watch. Yeah, I've got it. Yeah.
There's so many things in that movie. So many things.
Oh, man.
Like this whole thing about Paul is dead, that was a thing in the early 70s, late 60s. No, sorry, 67. As soon as they released the Abbey Road album, it was 68 or 69. Wow. People were saying, you know, he's got no shoes on, he's dead, he died, and the Volkswagen's got 28 which meant if he lived, he would have been 28. This was a thing going back into the early 70s, and when I hear people like Mark Devlin and all that spend all their time in a couple of other truthers going on about this Paul.
Who's Mark Devlin?
He's an English DJ, truth.
Yeah.
Who's a friend of mine. I mean, like, I regularly chat to that guy, you know, not online, but... online. I have talked to him.
Oh, you never met him in person. Yeah, Mark Devlin.
But he has my favourite show. I listen to the Sound of Freedom podcast, where he just plays music that kind of has a bit of oomph to it and a bit of truth to it. Sure. I love that stuff. But anyway, he's obsessed with this Paul is dead thing. And I said to him, look, this is a distraction. That's like, if he is dead, big deal. You know, there's more important things to be talking about than... You know, something that I heard when I was five, the same rumours. These rumours have been around for many, many years. Now you've got guys like, he's a New York taxi driver type guy that's all his podcast basically is Paul is dead. And to me, it's just a nothing story. Like, even if he is, big deal, who cares? Like, you've got...
Yeah, good point. You've got technocracy getting
rolled out, and then you're...
Yeah, I know. We'll go to the next newspaper. Let's go to the next newspaper. Here we go. Wednesday, March the 25th, 2020, the Newcastle Herald. Okay, in the space of 2 minutes, we had zero income. Body blow. When Prime Minister Scott Morrison addressed the nation on Sunday night, Lisa and Sergio Rossi's family... fell apart. In the time it took the Australian government to shut down all the non-essential services, the husband and wife team, who have never set foot in a Centrelink office, which for overseas people is, on the dole. What's that? Sleepered mods.
Job seeker.
Yeah, oh my God. We were left unemployed. Their real life fitness gym was shut down on Monday, and it was their only income stream. Mr. Rossi's band says they play weekly at Newcastle clubs. So it's fucked up a lot of people. And look, and I don't believe the newspaper a lot of the time, but I believe this. What do you reckon?
Oh, for sure. Absolutely. I mean, look, how many people do you know that have... do you know many people? I guess you should do. But I know...
I've met all sorts of people. All sorts of people in different... Every different lifestyles. And I've had a wonderful life. I mean, you know Forrest Gump, right? I wouldn't... Just imagine Forrest Gump, right? I've had that sort of life where I fucking hate Tom Hanks. I think Tom Hanks is... As a human being, is a piece of shit.
Oh,
but as an actor, I think he is awesome as an actor.
He's very likable.
His sons,
Okay. He's a very likable person. I mean, I love.
Oh yeah.
I love the Toy Story movies because I mean I had to. Why not? Before I had kids, I remember watching. I'd see the movie, the video, be in every house that had a child, or whatever. And then when I just had my own children, I guess 10 years after that movie came out, that was a very popular movie, and I loved it. I thought it was fantastic, and he's got such a likable character voice and stuff. But then when you get into detail, particularly about Spielberg, I mean, I've always been dubious about him for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Many years. And to see that they're both very close. And then it suddenly dawned on me, because I'm into this whole inversion thing, why wouldn't they employ someone like that's got a very dubious personality to be this likable character all the kids love? With a really strange name, Woody, you know. Woody, the whole Woody thing's a bit dodgy. And I just think, I don't try...
Yeah,
Spielberg's movie, E.T., when I watched it the first time. In 80, 81, I don't know when it came out, 80.
Yeah, I was in the movie theater, and
is E.T. dead?
And, yeah, you know, when he's lying in that river, when he's lying in that river, and you go, holy... Fuck! It's like that fucked me up.
But no, but it wasn't that.
Especially when my mother said to me, "Is E.T. dead?" I just went, because she took me to the theater. I like movies like Brian. What was his name? The guy that did "Let's Do the Time Walk Again." Those sort of
the movie. You're talking about Rocket.
Not so emotional. Brian. What was his name? The guy that that wrote that.
Richard O'Brien was on the set when I worked on Dark City. He had a major role in that movie. Well, he was a major role, and he was actually on the very. Because I worked on the very last scenes they did of that film, and I was doing film security, and I had to stand outside his caravan, and he used to walk around. Because he's a very strange character. He and my cousin, female, are very close friends. And he lives in New Zealand now, and he's married to an actual woman.
Well, let's do a what's in your hand. Here we go.
Cronenberg, 1664.
What's in your hand? Yeah.
I'll do it now.
What's in your hand? What's in?
Cronenberg, 1664.
Good. I saw the other day, actually, on the news. Your mate, you worked on the set of The Matrix with Keanu Reeves. They're doing what's it called? Part 3 of Bill and Ted.
Oh, you know, part four of The Matrix.
They're doing part four of The Matrix. They're filming that in Germany. They're not doing it in Australia.
So Carrie Ann, who I looked
Moss, at. Carrie Ann Moss.
Carrie Ann, who I certainly watched walking around, she wore her leather pants on set all the time. Yeah. And so she's actually around... In between me and you, I think she's about my age, actually. She's like, because Keanu's about 3 weeks older than me. He's a week older than me. So he was born in 64 in September. And she is also 50-something or other, but she looks fantastic. I've seen some
she's great.
Shots.
She's got great eyes. She's got great eyes, a great bottom, Every time I fuck my wife, I think of Carrie Ann Moss.
Really? I wouldn't say that. Just don't say that to her.
She'll be thinking of her, shouldn't I?
Yeah.
Just joking. We're allowed a joke here on thefakeologist.com. Yeah, we're allowed a joke. But sometimes there is truth.
Anyway, going back.
Go.
So Richard O'Brien, who wrote Rocky Horror Picture Show, and
it's
1970. No, maybe 1970. He grew up, he was a English, he was an Englishman, and his family moved to New Zealand in the early 60s, And he'd be probably 10 years, 12 years, 14 years older than me. I don't know. But anyway, he learned to ride horses.
I remember, I went and watched it at the theatre. Oh, fucking 1976 with my parents. And I was 6 years old. I didn't know fuck all.
Well, anyway, look.
Here we go. We'll go to the next newspaper, right? Ready?
Oh, no, let me finish.
Okay. So the Daily Telegraph already viewed this.
Rollo, yeah. I was about to finish the Richard O'Brien story. He moved to New Zealand when he was a child. He worked on he lived on a farm. He learned to ride horses, and he went back to England, and he worked for, what was the English, the Carry On movies, the film studio in England. And because he could ride horses, and they were doing Carry On.
That would have been, I'd say that would have been, was it Ealing Studio?
Pinewood. Ealing or Pinewood?
Pinewood. There you go.
I think Pinewood, yeah. And so he went back there, and because he could ride a horse, which very few English people could do back in the
60s, obviously. A lot of people don't like Carry On, but I do. Can you name all the characters out of the Carry On movies?
Sid Jones, Hattie Jakes, my favourite, the young
guy. You know it.
Who was the really grumpy gay guy that was... He was in the
Navy. Sounds a bit like Alan Jones, doesn't he?
Yeah, he does, yeah. Him. Kenneth Williams.
Yeah.
Charles Hawtrey. They had an amazing cast. But anyway,
tried to redo it for TV tried to do it years later, it never worked.
No.
My favorite, one of those shows back in the day was, what was it? House. And the Jewish guy, the main guy in.
He was the offsider of.
Sid James. The main guy.
Bless His House.
Know, he died on stage. He died on stage just like, The guy that
he probably died 10 years before, like he's probably 10 years old, younger than me when he died, but he looked like he was about 90, you know. Mm. He smoked and drank.
And he's Jewish, but that's all right. Sid James, I fucking love Sid James.
Were.
And the same were. Guy, the same. The guy that the wore the red thing, and they actually filmed that when he died on stage, and they thought he was joking, but no, he didn't. Do you remember that?
No, I don't. But anyway, I'll just go through back to what I was saying about Richard O'Brien. He went back to England, worked as a stuntman and / extra, and next thing you know, he's come out with this whole trans thing, this movie a stage musical about transsexualism. I mean, that's, to me, is too suspicious, because we had David Bowie coming out as a bisexual, you know, man from space, the man who fell to Earth. You know, there's another Lucifer image there, the man who fell to Earth.
What was his character's name? His character's name was Ziggy Stardust.
Riff Raff was awesome. Richard O'Brien played Riff Raff in...
Did he? Was that Richard O'Brien, was it? Yeah.
That's him, yeah. Long, kind of, yeah. And so I met him on this Dark City film set, but I never mentioned that I could have easily gone up and said, look, was Tavistock involved in the finance of your blatantly transsexual, because the whole early 70s, we saw Bowie, we had Rocky Horror Picture Show, we had... This Brian Eno appeared out of nowhere, and who dressed as a woman, and had a really influential name and everything. There was a really big social a lot of influencing coming on in the early 70s. I could have asked Richard O'Brien, and I still could now to this day, ring my cousin and say, can we go around, if I went to New Zealand, I could go around and meet him and talk to him and say,
what I'm trying to take from what you're saying there, are you actually saying that because that's mainstream sort of media trying to turn people gay? Like,
yes, I am.
Yeah, like Nosferatu. He looked like Nosferatu, remember, back in the day?
Well, you had that musical, which was based on, you know, really bizarre sex, transsexual, Count Frankenfurter, with Tim, and they had a fantastic, you know, Tim,
the play. Have you seen Eyes Wide Shut? Eyes Wide Shut.
If you want to encourage more audios like these, please go to fakeologist.com and click the Patreon button under the Donate section. For $1.19 a month, you can call yourself a verified listener, and for $9.11 a month, a benefactor, who will get a shout out every time Ab does a show. Thank you for your support.
A shoot oot. A shoot oot.
Alex Lyson, Neil Peart, and who's the other one?
Oh, I heard him say that the other night. I can't remember. I did not like that band. I mean, sorry, nothing about that band.
Rush is fucking awesome.
His voice was too high pitched for me. I mean, I love it.
We'll never have concerts again as long as Bill Gates is still with us. Anyway, Mosh Pit. I mean, what was the band that you ran back in 1986? Oh, that's a fucking awesome band. Yeah,
that's a damage. There were guys bleeding and with broken noses in the mosh pit every time those guys played, you know.
Yeah,
is that going to ever happen again?
Excited.
Is that going to happen again? It will when Bill
Gates. I hope so, because I was in the mosh pit for Metallica. I was in the mosh pit for, god damn, so many metal bands. I love metal back then. AC/DC, actually a touch Angus Young. I don't know if I touched him in his soul, but I
touched Lemmy's foot.
Oh, Lemmy from
Motorhead.
What was their biggest hit? Ace of Spades. That's right. Keep going.
I was in the front row in 1983 of Motorhead in New Zealand.
Did he ever get those lumps cut off his face, or we just
no? You can't. They were giant moles. You couldn't do that. So he came walking out on stage, and he had a cigarette in his mouth. And he spat it in the audience, and about like 10 people dived on the cigarette butt to try and get it. And he stood. He just stood in the front, right on the front of the stage, and we were right up the front, and we had like our hand on his boot. You know, there was me and about four mates that were waiting there for it, and it was unbelievable. Yeah. And we took photos of him that night, and when they got developed, his pupils were like little mini pyramids. They were poking out.
Oh, he
was a crystal meth user.
Wow.
And yeah,
I don't crystal. It's not for me. It's not a drug for me.
It suits some people. Suited him.
Mm.
Suited him.
I mean, I know you've taken plenty of drugs. The drugs, there are drugs that some people should take and there are some people shouldn't take.
No, I'm a Mormon roller. I have never taken drugs, ever.
Oh, well, I'm sure that's true. Not. When I smoke marijuana or cannabis or whatever you want to call it, right? It's just not the right drug for me. Nah. I know it.
You know, it suits people and it doesn't suit people. I mean, I know people that has no effect. It actually has beneficial effects, including a friend of mine who does, you know, he's taken everything, right? But yet he has got... He's just
you're talking about you now. You're talking.
No, when you say
a friend of mine, you know you're talking about you. Keep going.
No. This is another friend of mine. This is not me. But he makes wax. He makes oils. He does this whatever. And he went and entered strongman competitions and destroyed every record that any of these people had ever seen before. Because he's just a big. He was in the army. He was like a. He's just a. He's physically blessed, yet he can take the hugest amounts of cannabis that I've ever seen, and it doesn't affect him. It actually benefits him. He ate porridge and smoked pot and made oils and destroyed every record in the South Island of gumboot throwing. When he was in the army, he could throw a grenade so far that it would explode in midair, which is very hard to do, apparently, for an airstrike. Mm-hmm. And he was just blessed with... And it suits him. It doesn't. He's still got his intellect. He's got no signs of any paranoia. It suits him. It's obviously got its benefits. Like Dave J seems to be.
He's a stoner.
He's a stoner, but he seems to hasn't destroyed his intellect. You know, what I mean, his intellect. Is
He's fine. And he doesn't get triggered either. I'd say Dave J, you're a fuckwit or whatever.
But I think he likes.
No, he's fine. Yeah, he's a bit of a masochist.
Well, you know, just the tone of his voice, he can destroy people. He's got this voice that just overrides.
He should be narrating movies. He should be narrating stuff. Yeah, you know, with that voice.
The guy's got this power voice. You know what I mean? Like it's a, you know,
like me. I've got one.
You have.
And so do you. You can do mimic. All right. Okay. So, what's your favorite? Can you do? Who's that Canadian guy that I really like? He sounds like Kermit the Frog.
What's his name? Very clever. Very
clever. John Beadle.
I'm looking at Abby's one of my favorite hosts of any TV show.
You know, I haven't done Jordan for a while.
You do that so well.
Can I do it? It's like what's the guy's name? That's, you know,
it was Jim Henson and Frank Oz, wasn't it? They did those that
both Frank Oz. Frank Oz was Yoda, and Jim Henson was Kermit.
That's right,
and Frank Oz also did Bert, I think, and
Ernie and Bert. They're trying to make them gay now. Can you believe that?
Oh no,
because they flipped in separate beds. Yeah. Oh fuck me! What? You know, Ernie, we have this special
guest. Ernie,
and hey Bert, hey Bert.
Yeah. Morning, guys.
Yeah. Oh my!
Hey, psychologist. G'day.
We've been talking for 2 hours now.
Wow.
How are you doing, Ab?
I'm doing good, you know.
He's eating his breakfast.
I know, I'm eating my breakfast, I'm sorry.
Yeah, we've been on your side for a couple of hours. We're just going through the newspapers and whatnot. It was a great show the other night. Yeah.
No, that's because you were on it.
Oh, don't blow too much smoke on my ass.
Blowing vape up your ass. That's what we're doing here.
Vape up my ass. Why not?
So how are we enjoying the New World Order? The one that Alex Jones told us about, we laughed
fine. At. Why not?
Well, we aren't here going through what they've clearly done. And look, Ireland really is under the pump, which I can't believe. They've really...
Should I grab the next newspaper? Let me grab the next... Here we go. Monday, May 11, 2020. Red Army Virus Pro.
It's Aussie linked to... It's May 18th, your last week's news.
No, he's...
I am. I'm an old school guy.
He's reading his...
I'm actually... Ab, listen. You hear that? That's a real newspaper, mate.
Yeah, Rollo keeps all the newspapers. He has a big pile of them in his lounge room. So he's going through...
Well, why are you reading
next week, we'll be reading today's newspaper. We're doing this...
I've still got the newspapers from 9/11. You always call it 911, Rick, but 9/11. I've got the newspapers from like the next 3 days,
and he has, and I've seen them, and he has got them.
Yes,
100%. He's got them.
Yeah,
but yeah. So next Monday, though, we'll do the latest newspaper that we have, even if we have to go and steal more newspapers from. Where do you steal them from again? 7-Eleven.
From the local IGA. Here we go. Let me read this one. Okay, what's on the front page of this one? I know it's a week ago, Ab, but give me a break. Thursday, May 14th, 2020. Liar, liar, Panthers on fire. It's been a dog of a week, for Penrith star Nathan Cleary. The 22-year-old, clean skin, was arrested yesterday and fined $1,000 for breaking social distancing. The rules, the NRA.
Are you serious?
NRL,
he got arrested for it.
Yeah, and what it says here, in full color, too.
Oh, here we go. One of the snowbirds that died is a woman, of course. Jesus. Sorry.
You're right, man. Keep going. How cold is it in Canada, though? I want to get up there so bad to meet you in real life.
Well, it's so cold you probably wouldn't make the flight. The plane would freeze in the air.
Are you in your studio at the moment, Ab, or are you in your truck?
Yes. No,
you're
I'm
in your studio.
I'm having my breakfast.
Okay, can you play that PK thing again? Just a second time. It wasn't PK. It was what was her name? I sent you a link. Let's have a listen to it for a second time.
If I knew what you were talking about.
Just go to what I sent you on Discord. The last thing I sent you.
What was that? Oh, new normal thing.
Yeah. Yeah, can you play that one more time? If anyone's listening to this, I suggest listen to it again.
Okay, I'll see if I can find it.
Good man. You are a good man, Ab. We are friends, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
He said that on the last podcast, Rollo. He said you see as your
friend.
Friends. So
I'll find it.
You don't need to jump off your balcony anymore.
Hey, Rick.
Is this it?
Here we go.
Yep.
Fakeologist.com.
That sounded like
an empty stadium, though. Was she singing to an empty stadium?
Yeah, that sounded like Rosie, what's her name, the big fat woman from... What's Rosie?
No, that was COVID Cooties. I think that was done by someone called Symbia on YouTube.
Well,
and I was thinking that sounded like something from New Wave. From the 80s.
Who was Rosie that sang the
New
the,
Order?
Yeah, something like that. Rick, I'm relying on you because you're from that era. That sounded like some girl band from the 80s.
Yeah, like the Go-Go's or...
Bananarama. Bananarama.
No, not Bananarama. Go-Go's or the Bangles.
But Tim Osborne.
Oh, yeah, the Bangles.
Lot.
Oh, my God.
Little Bangles, yeah. Yes.
But that, what's her name? Susanna,
that was banned from my
Susanna Hoff.
Susanna Hoff. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my
yep.
God. Oh, my God. Beautiful.
Yep, very mm-hmm. beautiful. But I thought it sounded like Rose. What's that big, that scary-looking American woman that had her own TV show that's been kicked off?
Rosie O'Donnell?
No, not Rosie O'Donnell.
Yes, well, Rosie O'Donnell. That was a big fat one.
No, no, no.
Listen
no,
to this, guys. Listen to this, and tell me if this is happening in your country.
Go for it.
I'll start Thank playing it now. Fun. Just listen to this.
Oh, I can't wait. Can't wait.
Okay, you're checked in.
Yeah, thank you.
Here's your AIDS ribbon.
No, thanks.
You don't want to wear an AIDS ribbon?
No.
But you have to wear an AIDS ribbon.
I have to?
Yes.
Yeah, see, that's why I don't want to.
But everyone wears the ribbon. You must wear the ribbon.
What you are? You're a ribbon bully.
Hey, you, come back here. Come back here and put this on.
Hey, where's your ribbon? Oh, I don't wear the ribbon.
You don't wear the ribbon? Aren't you against AIDS?
Yeah, I'm against AIDS. I mean, I'm walking on it. Just don't wear the ribbon.
Who do you think you are?
Put the ribbon on.
Hey, Cedric, Bob, this guy won't wear a ribbon.
Who doesn't want to wear the ribbon?
It's two guys.
So, what's it going to be? Are you going to wear the ribbon?
No.
Never. But I'm wearing the ribbon. He's wearing the ribbon. We are all wearing the ribbon. So why aren't you going to wear the ribbon?
This is America. I don't have to wear anything I don't want to wear.
What are we going to do with him? I guess we're just going to have to teach him to wear the ribbon.
Everything's finished.
Oh, I told him he'd never make it. He was up all night. Oh, my God. Kramer? Look at you. I told you. Up all night playing poker. Come on.
Hey, where's your AIDS ribbon?
He's lying in the street. So
Michael Ridges was
what was the
fantastic
point of that?
When he was given a script.
What was
when
the
he
point
was
of
doing
that?
Stand up, he sucked.
Well, he didn't want to read the ribbon like he doesn't want to wear the mask.
Thank you, Rick. Yep. That's exactly it. That's coming. If it's not here already, it's coming.
Yeah, remember the lapel badges on the suits that went after 9/11, and they get bigger and bigger, and then Sarah Palin just took it to another level.
Yeah,
remember Sarah Palin, that crazy woman from Alaska?
Virtue.
Yeah, she took it to.
Oh yeah.
Another level.
Who was I trying to think of? The big, large, fat lady that was. She's been kicked off. She got kicked off her last show when they rejigged it, and she's too controversial now to have her own TV show. But
Jacinda Ardern?
No, an American comedian, big, large, fat lady, and she had a very popular show in the 80s or 90s, around the same time as Seinfeld.
No, I can't.
Not Rosie.
You're going to have to.
Yeah, she had the guy from. Cheers was her husband.
Roseanne.
Okay, that's
it. Oh, Roseanne.
Remember when Roseanne sang the American National Anthem and destroyed it at the Super Bowl?
Oh,
it was terrible. That's what
it was awesome. It was terrible and awesome at the same time.
Hey, you know, she's a free talker. She constantly gets, you know, pillared for her views on various things, and I think she's a bit pro the Orange Man.
Yeah, she was in, the Orange Man, bad. She was in that show with Tom Arnold.
Roseanne.
Yeah, and she was great. She got done. And she got sacked off that show.
Sacked off her own TV show, yeah.
Because she wouldn't follow the script.
Here we go.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
is Marty from Dusseldorf, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
What do you think,
Marty from Dusseldorf?
What do you think Marty of the fact that my podcast player, the most popular podcast player on Google, the guy's been working on it for 9 years, Google removes it. It's a player. And the reason? COVID.
Oh, Jesus.
They said he was...
I
don't know how, but they said he was somehow promoting COVID disinfo, like my site, and he basically is suspended from the store. And you're dealing with a robot at Google. It's rare you can talk to a person. So now all those years of work are flushed down the toilet because he doesn't even know how to basically say he had nothing to do with the podcast that his podcast player can play. Because, of course, it plays any podcast available anywhere. So how can he be responsible for the content? It's like blaming a highway for a car crash.
That's exactly right.
Rick. I'll tell you. There was when the COVID-19 thing really took off on 11 of March. If you even mentioned it on YouTube, you lost your monetization. Ab, do you remember when you played that footage of in New Zealand with the guy that went and shot up the mosque, and you almost lost your sight over that?
No, they came in and deleted it through his private
services.
What happened was.
Okay.
I uploaded the video to WordPress's servers. They host all the videos on FakeTube. Okay, that's a paid service. I pay for that service. That was the only video that they deleted. They said, delete it, we're going to suspend the paid hosting service of your videos. All WordPress. I have my own server for my own website. They can't delete that. They can block it. Google already shadow bans the website, because if you type anything on my website, it won't come up. If you type the word fakeologist, it should come up, but if you're typing hoax in any other word, you'll be hard-pressed to find my website, which is how everyone who doesn't know about the site could get to it. You see? So...
Yeah. I remember, Ab.
I did delete the video.
Delete
the video, but luckily PK, I think somebody put it on archive.org, which is, I don't know why, I'm surprised they still have it on there. I don't know who owns archive.org. Somebody owns that one. I got Farce Value here. Farce Value, I meant to just write you. We were supposed to talk.
G'day, Farce, from Florida.
I have to go to work today. It's a holiday here, but I just got called in. So can we push it to this evening, which is what you wanted in the first place?
Well, that was what you suggested initially, so I was always kind of planning on an evening, but I'll...
No, I know. It's today's a holiday here. It's the Queen Victoria's birthday. God bless her.
Is
Queen Victoria?
Outside and sing
you mean Queen, Queen Elizabeth? Queen Elizabeth?
No,
Queen
Victoria. It's Victoria Day here, believe it or not.
You know how many statues there are of Queen Victoria on the earth?
33.
Hey, Farce Valley, can you thrash out a few power chords? You're a guitarist, aren't you, or are you a pianist?
I'm a guitarist.
Guitarist. Oh, excellent. Thrash out a few power chords for us.
It'll take a couple of minutes here.
Okay. I just saw a great YouTube of Dimebag Darrell from Pantera. His solos when he was doing like a guitar teaching course.
Pantera, I've seen them live. They're fucking great.
Fantastic. Oh yeah, absolutely. Oh yeah. Now, where'd you see them in Sydney? Probably.
Yeah. Sorry, I'm being cucked at the moment. Just being cucked. Yeah.
Where did you see Pantera?
Horton Pavilion, mate. Horton.
Oh, excellent. Yeah. Great gig.
Yeah. Pantera were great. Yeah, painted in the corner. One of their greatest albums. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, not bad.
I'm just waiting because we're going to get fast value. He's going to thrash out some power chords on his guitar.
Is he going to sing like Tom D sings and plays piano?
Why not? I hope so. Why not?
So this is the new Monday night news talk we're doing, Ab.
Dude, should I grab the next newspaper?
I love it.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Okay, the next newspaper. Here we go. Okay, so the Newcastle Herald on Saturday, the 18th of April, 2020.
That's a long
Newcastle. I'm going backward in time.
Okay.
Okay, so Newcastle added more cranes to the skyline. Here we go. Turn the power on, and then we'll listen.
So this evening's okay, Fars? Is that okay? I'm sorry about that.
I'll have to check with the music.
Check. Let me know. Thank you.
Awesome. That was awesome.
There you go.
Oh, man. Hey, totally. I loved it. Loved it.
Oh, hold on. Let him go. Let him do a take two. Don't talk over it. Let's do it. Take two. Go for it.
I don't know if I'm really happy with that vibe, but
that was awesome, man. I thought it was fantastic.
Are you playing open chords or closed? Are you playing?
It's kind of an open E power chord.
Oh, pinch harmonics. Yeah. How many pedals have you got there?
Awesome.
It's just one all in one thing.
Hey, man, hey, Fast, that is awesome. Look, I'm a heavy rock.
Oh, man. No, that sounds like Zach Wild. Zach fucking Wild! Fucking you.
One of my favorite guitarists.
Look,
he is my favorite guitarist too. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, he's doing.
We need to steal that sound. Borrow and put it at the front of the Rick and Rollo News Talk show and have Fast Valley's guitar riff as the introduction to it. Yeah, for sure, man. That was awesome.
He speaks with his guitar. Johnny Cash did. Johnny Cash, one of my favorite guitarists.
No, my favorite is Tony Iommi.
Oh, yeah.
Black Sabbath. Come on, please.
Black Sabbath, sorry.
And Tony Iommi and Phil Anselmo, the lead singer from Pantera, the album they did together. Is awesome.
Really?
It's called Out of Time or Touch of something time, whatever it is. But it's fantastic.
I'll download it. I'll pay for it. I'll download it tonight.
Yeah, Phil, it's Tony and Phil doing, and it's kind of something in time. I think it's called Something in Time. That's the name of it. And it's power. It's just a really, because Tony Iommi is one of the best power chord riff masters ever. I mean, the stuff, all of Sabbath stuff, every lineup they had has been
great. So we're talking open chords here, not closed chords. So we're open chords.
I don't know. I'm not that kind of technical.
Well, yeah, and let's ask Play G open and play G closed.
Oh.
Come on, dude. You can do it. You can do it.
This is the... All right.
Are you a bit like... You're a little like... who was the guy that played the guitar upside down?
Jimi Hendrix?
Jimi Hendrix. Yeah, back here. Because he was given the guitar that way, so he... That's why you got a totally different sound.
No, Jimi Hendrix restrung it. He restrung the guitar, and he played it left hand upside down, restrung.
Yeah, that's right. You know it. You know it.
Yeah.
Well, this would be an open G.
And then a closed G. It sounds exactly the same, but we're here on radio, so it sounds the same.
Closed G sounds cool to my. I like that.
I'll take my phone into my piano. Here we go. I'll play G on
piano.
Hold on. Here we go. I'm just gonna go into the music room here. Here we go.
So I've been there before. I've been there.
God damn, I'm a bit drunk. Here we go. That's C, sorry. So that's middle C, right? So that's middle C. Fuck it. I'm gonna go back out and continue smoking.
Yeah, get the fuck away.
Did you know the year that piano is like 200 years old?
It's a beautiful piano. You know, I've got one in my garage that's 200 years old as well.
Really?
Yep.
Will you leave it to me? Will you leave it to me when
It's got brass candle holders on the top of the
wonderful
piano. Yeah.
What's your favorite piano piece?
Beethoven.
A piano, when it comes to piano, I think it's Thomas Newman is my favorite when it comes to piano.
I love Beethoven. Old Beethoven.
Old school.
You guys need to check out Yuja Wang.
Okay, true. Sounds good.
Yeah, let me find
it. Can you play some?
No, this is, for as far as piano, she's really playing something.
Fast Valley. Have you ever seen the film called The Piano? It was a New Zealand film.
Yeah, a long time ago. Yeah, Harvey Keitel. Yeah.
Exactly. Beautiful, wonderful, wonderful theme done by. Now, who did that? It was Michael Nyman. Yeah, Michael Nyman.
Yuja Wang is like my kind of a
okay.
Kind of she's fabulous. Where am I? Posted in the live stream chat. But, I mean, if you
how's life in Florida at the moment? How's life with the lockdown in Florida at the moment?
Flow rider. I've kind of been involved in some little like Facebook flame wars with some of my normie friends, and it's I wouldn't call them flame wars, but it's. It's interesting to me that the normies are needing to sell this. It's very odd to me that it's almost like an evangelical, like, you know, once upon a time, exoteric, you're...
it's a new religion.
Absolutely.
Do you consider yourself an evangelical in any way? Do you feel like you have a responsibility to save the people, the unsaved?
After 40 years of being laughed at and being mocked and pillared, I'm the type that's going, I told you.
I'll be back in a minute.
You're right.
So
I warned you, he didn't listen, so... Reap what you sow.
What were the warnings, though? What was it?
The warnings were in 90. Well, when I first got into this whole thing in, say, 1981, 82, it was via the.
Ryan Wilson.
No. It was later. That was when I came to Australia. But no, it was
the books like None Dare Call a Conspiracy and Carol Quigley's tomes on the CFR and et cetera. I kind of knew, but I didn't know. I'd been informed on what was running the planet. You know, there was a there was an organisation out there to bring in what we're getting now, and you know, I was just laughed as being a conspiracy theorist and a negative. You're all negative. Everything's negative about you. I was right. I've been proved right, and, well, and that's why I'm a Alan Watt fan, because everything he said has basically come true to the note. If you say
Do you? I mean, do you look at that as a result of a turn away from Christianity that opens the door to that sort of thing, or can it be?
I'm very much. I've been more concerned in the last 3-4 months of the lack of Christians to respond to their churches being shut down.
Oh yeah.
And I'm now, and that upsets me more. And and I was telling Rollo last week, I was out the front of my house putting in a like a scientific kind of a thing that apparently filters out toxins from the water. This friend of mine who I've met up here makes these magnetic things that you clasp to your water filter and your water meter, and it will stop chemicals. Anyway, I was talking to this woman walked past who's been trying to get me to church for the last 3 years, and I said to her, "Are you trying to do anything about, you know, your church being locked down and whatever?" And she looked at me, she goes, "Oh, the virus is, you know, this." And I went, "Has it occurred to you that the virus may not be real?" And she did the, she physically distanced herself by me, but she put her hands up and pushed me away, not physically, but in front of me. And I said, "You're crazy. You know, the virus, of course it's real. Of course." And I went, "Listen, you know, that's the reason why I didn't go to your church."
So she believes in the virus. She doesn't believe in God. Is that what you're saying?
She believes in God, but she doesn't believe, she believes in God and she believes in the virus.
She believes in the virus more than God.
Yeah.
She believes in the virus more than God.
Sorry.
The reason I mention this is because I grew up in a Christian church, and when I was very young, in my probably early teens, even in my younger, it was kind of like they made us think it was a responsibility to spread the word because people were going to go to hell if they didn't know and they weren't saved. So even as kind of a young teen, I was, you know, kind of, it was awkward because, yeah, you're definitely in the minority. And I eventually kind of left the church after a while. Yeah. Kind of saw some serious contradictions in there. And I never
many really contradictions. Got
the idea of being terrorized by hell, and then I found out later that it was a complete
miracle. I tell you, now we're in an open air church. Everyone's in it.
Yeah, exactly.
On the sidewalk.
Exactly. So what I notice about today is that, like, it seems to me the majority of the people that are believing in the virus are running around in masks, and they'll go on Facebook and they'll promote and amplify the mainstream message.
They are the problem. They are the problem. It's not the problem to me. Is not the police. I accept the police have a responsibility. They follow their orders from.
They're going to call the police. They're the ones that call the police.
Yeah. Exactly.
On you.
Exactly.
So,
exactly.
And my thought on this is that so we have this massive mainstream media apparatus, a full spectrum dominance thing through entertainment, TV, magazines, newspapers, and yet they still feel the need to further amplify the mainstream message and
they
convert
want to be in the story.
The non-believers.
They want to be in the story.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Audio Chat on Fakeologist.com.
Have you ever questioned the nature of your reality?
Yeah, here we are with Bars Valley. We're here with Ab. We're here with Rick and me, Rollo. Yeah, keep going.
I just didn't hear Ab's last comment. He said something about they want to something.
All right.
And
But yeah, no, they're pushing, they are the ones, it's the public that are pushing these laws, not the government. It's the public.
Yeah, they call the police. They're the ones that call the police on you.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I've been talking, this is the first hour of the show tonight.
Ab, are you talking about snitching? You talk about, you know, when they're trying to get us to snitch on each other?
Of course.
Yeah,
of course.
Someone's goes out next door. Oh, my God.
They've activated the brown shirt army. They're activated.
Yeah, I did talk to a friend of mine who said he was in a store and saw someone without a mask, and he was contemplating on calling a manager and telling him that somebody was walking around without a mask. He's not content.
Here's a question. How are you going to do facial recognition when everyone's wearing a mask? If they want that facial recognition software.
They're testing out other methods of identifying.
That's why you need the bracelets.
Yeah,
right.
That's why you need the bracelets.
But what I'm getting at is there's this proselytizing, this evangelizing, amplifying the mainstream message. But the way I remember it when I was young, we didn't have contempt for the people we were trying to convert.
No, exactly. Exactly. You actually wanted to help them. You weren't prepared to report them.
Contempt. Is that fucking Bill Gates motherfucker that you don't trust? He seems to trustworthy. He's not. Can you scratch out a couple of Johnny Cash poets? He's left the building, but I love Johnny Cash.
Well, he had, interestingly, his last recordings were with a Jewish rap producer, the Beastie Boys, and he produced Johnny Cash. Yeah, he did all of Johnny Cash's last stuff. What's his name?
Where's Noise Level? Oh, God, Skinmark.
And the guy's almost, like, he almost wears the full, you know, skull cap.
He was a heroin addict. Give him a break. He was addicted to that.
No, I'm not, I don't know if you took. No, I'm talking about. But anyway, I'm not upset by the cops because the cops are doing what they normally do, follow orders. Mm-hmm. I'm not upset by the politicians because they're following orders. What upsets me is what I'm seeing from the public reporting on other people. That upsets me more. As I said, my son, who's 13, went to go into a supermarket on Saturday with his mother.
Oh, okay.
And he had no shoes on. And they had two women at the front that are just glorified. They've got no qualifications. They're just check out girls that have been given the right to be COVID-19 snitches, and they wouldn't let them go in with no shoes.
Oh, jeez.
And I said to, you know, he goes, and he said to them, but there are kids walking around there with no shoes, and they said, yeah, but they're little children, but you're, you know, and he's only 13. What's the difference?
But Rick, yeah. We live in Australia now, where they're going, oh, we can send them back to school, but you can't go into a pub with more than 10 people.
It's ridiculous.
It's fucked up! It's fucked up!
Absolutely. And I agree.
There's a nice one right there.
Yeah. What was that movie, Idiocracy? We are in Idiocracy at the highest level, 100%. 100%. You know, it's just pathetic, you know. You've got, but I said, I don't blame the cops. The cops are following orders. I get more upset with seeing the public turning up and reporting on their fellow humans, you know. That's the scary thing. You know, and soon we're going to see, oh, you haven't been vaccinated. What, you haven't been vaccinated? And they're going to run off and ring up and report you for being not vaccinated. That's the way it's going here.
So, Fuzz, are you going to take the vaccine, Fuzz?
No, I don't plan to. I I really prefer not to. I'm thinking that it's probably going to be a soft mandate, like if you want to go to work or if you want to fly or privileges you're not going to be able to have access to. They might start with the government employees first and, you know, the kids, obviously, in schools. I mean, they've already got it for the kids, of course.
So. I just wish Chris Kendall was still alive. I mean, I love his take on him. Chris Kendall was still alive now.
I trust his voice 100%.
Mm-hmm.
100%. He was, and I've listened to...
He's a great guy.
You know, at least 1,000 hours, you know, at least, well, 500, say 500 hours of his...
And he didn't care about how many people were listening. He was laid back.
Really laid back. And didn't get stressed too much. Yeah. He spent too much time on vegan.
Here we go. Let's do a chink to Chris Kendall. Here we go. There we go. We're chinking our glasses to Chris.
I've adopted some of his ways. I'll hear something once in a while, and I'll say, "Get out of here!"
He just had the most laid back, too laid back a lot of the time. Because I wanted him to say because he was getting infiltrated. You listen to some of the podcasts he did. There were people deliberately coming on and saying things like "nigger" and, you know, like coming on just and instead of cutting them off and banning me, just go, who was that? You know, who said that?
And we're all right.
Only Rollo did that. Rollo's the one that did that.
not on Hoax Busters, he didn't. But
he sure
maybe
did,
not. Maybe not.
He didn't. But
SMG was triggered by it.
Rollo stuffed up.
Because he is a N-word. No, he's all right. I don't mind people who. I think Dave J said it best. It's intent. It's what intent means. And
nobody knows your intent. That's the problem.
I'll stick up for Ollie because I know that he's not like that.
You painted his walls. You have to.
Kiwi pup.
But he's not like that.
You're a great guy.
And if he was, I would have had nothing to do with the guy. Nothing to do with.
I agree. I like Rollo. Let's talk about Rollo.
I like Rollo too. I like me.
You're a character.
Past value. Thrash out a couple more power chords.
That was awesome. I love those guitar chords. That's cool.
It's more Pantera.
Can you play COVID Cooties?
Why not?
Some friends of mine were very close friends with Malcolm Young, and Malcolm Young from AC/DC was the guy that actually played the...
Yeah, made the money, yeah.
Yeah, he was the guy that taught...
He was the guy that... Angus was the real talent, but Malcolm...
Malcolm was the chord master.
Who did he kick out of the band back in 1970?
Mark Evans.
Mark?
Who I'm friends with, and he still gets around the place.
He didn't have Cliff Williams. Cliff Williams was the bass player that could play bass and sing way better than
the only reason he got kicked out. But Mark gigs around playing with the guy from Chain. I can't remember his name, but he was the lead guitarist from Chain, and they play up. Used to play at the pub up the road from my old man's place. In Sydney when I first moved there, and I used to go and see them all the time. Fantastic band. But Mark Evans is a bass. He actually was a guitarist who played bass before.
I've got his book. It's a heartbreaking book. Oh, it's heartbreaking when they kicked him out.
Yeah, but I think he still makes enough money that he's not quite, he's not poor.
Yeah,
and
they looked after him. What did you say? No, it was Tom Dalpra who said that Kimberly, what's his name from?
No, you're
Walking on Sunshine.
You're talking about
yeah,
completely
I'm,
different song.
Yeah. Great song.
Yeah, I know. But I'm just saying that they looked. It, you know what a handshake was? If I shook your hand, we made a deal, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you'd come through with a deal, you know?
Well,
when you got middlemen that come between us.
Black Sabbath?
Why not?
They split their royalties between all four of them.
And why not?
The main songwriter was the bass player, Geezer Butler. Wrote all of the lyrics of all those songs.
Yeah, when Ozzy Osbourne, with his amazing voice.
Yeah.
What's his real name?
John Osbourne.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well done.
Geezer wrote those lyrics that you listen to and those songs. He was the main guy, yet they split the songwriting between the four of them. Mm-hmm. Same with Jethro Tull and other bands like that. And that's the best way to do it. It's like, even though some of the guys didn't actually contribute to the song, but they played them, and when those songs were recorded, they were there. You know what I mean? There's a big difference. But when you get a greedy songwriter, that's why all bands split up. You've got songwriters that say, oh, no, I wrote all that, so they can get fucked, you know, piss them off.
Oh, okay. So you knew when Ozzy Osbourne left Black Sabbath, hear the difference. You could hear it. You could hear the difference. It was still great. It was still good, but my God.
Hey, I wanted to mention Black a couple Sabbath. Of other things related to the corona. Going back to this Facebook thing. I dropped some links into the show notes. The first one is BBC News. It says most scientists can't replicate studies. So there's a site when you're talking to the normies and they're running around in their masks and they're going to say, well, this is about science. Don't deny the science. Scientists know. I'm like, well, that's interesting that you're so sure about the science, because the scientists themselves, they're not so sure. They
no, not at all.
Do it themselves. And then there's another site called Retraction Watch. I dropped it in there. And then there's an article that's written by the National Institute of Health. It's a, you know, recognized institution.
That's Anthony Fauci's institution, isn't it?
Yeah.
And so,
I knew you'd get it.
So it's two. I dropped two quotes on the Facebook, but they're right at the top of the article. One is from the two decades editor of the New England Journal of Medicine, and he says it's no longer possible to believe much of the clinical research that is published or rely on the judgment of trusted physicians or authoritative medical guidelines. And then Richard Horton, editor of The Lancet, wrote the case against science is straightforward. Much of the scientific literature, perhaps half, may simply be untrue. Afflicted by studies with small sample sizes, tiny effects, invalid exploratory analysis, and flagrant conflicts of interest, together with an obsession for pursuing fashionable trends, science has taken a turn toward darkness. So these are the scientists. That's what they're saying about themselves. But these people that are wearing masks are going to talk about how they're acting on science like they know better than the scientists. It's really bizarre, and I brought these
that's
arguments.
That's the story they were given, Farce. They were. Do you think the average garbage man, not to trash garbage man? Oh, that was funny. Investigated that. That is just the side of the story that he decided to believe. You're given your stories, and you choose which ones you want to believe. So if you have what you think is a scientific mind or bent, or you like science or nature, then you're going to choose that talking point that's given to you. It has nothing to do with them understanding anything of which they say. But everyone has to pick a side, and that's what people do. I
mean, not to malign garbage men, but these are college-educated, otherwise pretty intelligent people I'm talking about, and they.
It's like, but they have more programming. Doesn't mean you're intelligent.
that they're engaged in a faith-based model.
They have more programming, though, and their programming is sponsored by the drug companies that make money once they come out. So it's very hard. We're in a cult. We all know we're in a cult.
We have a guy in Australia. Yeah, Ab in Australia. Ab,
Rollo said, go.
I've read Lancet, and I'm going, what are you talking about? You don't know what you're talking about. You haven't read the Lancet. The Lancet is peer-reviewed bullshit where people that are like-minded in that sense, in a medical sense, right? And I tell you, it's wrong. It's wrong. Peer review is wrong. You've got to fucking let people have independent thought. Fuck peer review.
Oh, man, if you could hear yourself now.
Timestamp.
But that'll be tomorrow. Yeah, have you listened to the latest No Agenda, First Value?
No, that from yesterday?
Yeah.
I haven't heard it yet.
I got it queued up. Did you hear that my favorite podcast app was knocked off Google?
Oh, no. When was that?
Who's that?
No, I told you that, Rick, 5 minutes ago. I don't think Forest Valley was in the room. I already told you, Rick. You already forgot? Oh, good.
Sorry, I was doing things and I'm roaming around.
That's all right.
Things.
Podcast Addict's the number one Google podcast player. The guy's been working on it for 9 years. I send him a few bucks every month on Patreon, which everyone should if they like to support independent stuff. And he was just banned from the Google store because they said his podcast player app played some COVID disinformation podcast. Ooh. Now, obviously, he cannot control what podcasts are played on his bloody app. It's like blaming the highway for car crashes. It makes no sense, but he doesn't even know where
I recall that. Sorry, I do.
It's all right. It's okay. I know Rollo wouldn't remember, but I was worried about you.
I remember everything. I remember everything.
What do you think?
Just a little bit later.
Forest Value, what do you think of that?
Well, yeah, that's, you know, it is censorship. And an argument might be made that, well, Google is a private organization. They can do what they want. But they're not. They're publicly funded. I mean, you can look at the roots of NQTEL.
It's
odd that the CIA has its own venture capital firm, Cerberus and NQTEL. They've got a couple that fund a lot of these tech outfits. And so they're more akin to maybe public utilities or quasi-private.
Yes.
It is a form of censorship, but it's not as overt, say, as what's going on in China.
Self-censorship. I think it's, isn't that what it is?
The way I
what people do now,
this is the way I look at the situation, and it's more complicated than it is on the surface, as all of them are. Google is a predatory business organization. Now, they are not number one in their field in anything. What they do is they take companies that are doing well, they'll either buy them out and then close them down, and then replace it with their crap, or they will do what they did here. They'll just ban it from their platform. And they own most of the phone market, whatever Apple doesn't have. And that's what they've done here. Their podcast app probably is way down the rankings. And no one likes it because, obviously, it's not good software. So they basically use COVID as the excuse, which COVID is being used as the excuse for everything in this world. So they've used that as an excuse.
If you like this audio and want to support the site in a small or big way, please hit the PayPal donate button on the side of the Fakeologist.com webpage. You can show your support for as little as $1.19 a month by subscription or one-time donation. Thank you for your support.
They've used COVID as an excuse to get rid of this guy so they can probably ascend their crappy app into the podcasting world. I just find it's just so predatory. And if a government was a functioning government, they would block these monopolies or break them up, because that's what the government is supposed to do. It's supposed to oppose the extreme power of big, massive corporations that dominate an industry. Mm. But, of course, we know the corporations are well integrated with the government, so that won't happen anymore. When's the last time a big company was broken up? I can't think of it. The 80s, maybe.
Wasn't it when Windows Explorer, you know, Explorer was on part of the,
Explorer Mobile. How did that go?
They tried. He had more power. You just used ABBA there in your little bounce.
Does anyone want to remember the Gates story?
I swear to God.
Everyone remember the Gates story? I just heard it the other day where, IBM is known for inventing the personal computer. And I think the government said, listen, you can have the hardware, but you can't have the software, because we can't have one company dominating the whole industry. So that's when IBM went to Bill Gates, or there are connections between IBM and Gates' family, where they said, you've got this shitty little software called Microsoft DOS, or DOS. You write the application, and you can control the software. So that was how IBM got around the anti-competition laws. They gave the license to Bill Gates and his little crappy company, and I guess his buddy Paul Allen wrote the software. But basically, they were still in bed together because they were intrinsically tied at the hip anyway. So, have you ever looked at the laws?
Yeah.
What do you think of that, guys?
Have you ever used Linux? Have you ever used it, Linux?
I've tried, but, you know, it's the old thing. It's hard to work.
Yeah,
no, it's not that hard, just a learning curve that I don't want to learn right now. Yeah, I agree, but it's just, you go with the mob. The mob is in Windows. Windows sucks, we all know, but it dominates, and there's no competition.
Hey, do you remember when Bill Gates...
Rollo, wait.
In front of a big crowd and the blue screen.
Rollo, hold on, Farce Value, go ahead.
I was just going to say the problem with Linux is it doesn't have the penetration in terms of compatible apps that Windows has.
Yeah.
Like a lot of your favorite.
Well, it's a chicken and egg thing, isn't it? It's a chicken and egg thing. How can Linux get bigger if it doesn't have the apps? And who's going to develop apps if it's not big? That's the problem in business. It's whoever's the biggest and the noisiest and the baddest, they take over the day.
Yeah, and look, with my phone, I've never got a virus on the damn phone because there's not fucking Windows. I had fucking, back in the day, I used to use,
I think your phone is as pickled as you are. Doesn't alcohol stop corona?
Maybe it does. Why not?
That is the science.
It's science.
You're the best.
Oh, man. How are we going to get out of this mess anyway? I guess there's no getting out of it. Should we just all take the demise pill?
What are we going to do? We keep talking about it. Keep saying, Anthony Fauci, sorry, Fast. Just keep talking about Anthony Fauci and Bill Gates. Because this motherfucker that wants to stick us all is going to go down in a big way.
I just listened to a podcast that's on fakeologist.com where it's from a Christian perspective, Farce. You might listen to it. And they were saying that why is Bill Gates the number one enemy? He's actually being promoted as the enemy right now. There's no avoiding it. So this guy was saying he thinks the savior that gets rid of Bill Gates will be worse than Bill Gates. And I'm just wondering if anyone has thought of that angle, where Bill Gates is obvious to most that are looking into it. So whoever comes and sweeps Bill Gates and his public health army away may be worse. That's who he's worried about.
Ab, look, I say that they use...
They're creating a dialectic.
But exactly, and they used...
They used
what's the name, the little Swedish nightmare.
Greta Thunfish
was used to bring us into this whole thing because we were looking at her and looking at Bill Gates. And you're right, Bill Gates could be this... that's why I keep going on about this. Bill Gates is 666 or triple or double six things. It's so obviously trying to freak people out. What are they trying to push you into? There's obviously something that's more insidious down the track that's not using a 666 logo or a 666, you know. You're right. I mean, we could be getting tricked into something by just something so obvious that you're being freaked out by, you know, Greta. Now Greta Thunberg's actually part of the advice team for COVID-19 on...
Yeah, I know, on CNN.
That is clear on CNN, but whatever it is, it's clearly there to freak you out. You know, like, they know people, and anyone that's read the Bible allegedly should know that 666 is dangerous. So are they just using these numbers to make us, you know, freak us out and then guide us to another more dangerous thing? I don't know. But it certainly looks...
Six! The number of the beast!
That's it. That's the one.
So I think I would be a little bit cautious of our perspective here because there's a... I mean, it's a very small community, but I spend most of my time in this community, whether it's here or with Infinite Plane or, you know, Chris Kennedy.
Yeah, me
wherever.
Too.
And yeah, because I just can't tolerate the nonsense and the logical disconnects when I talk. But I do think that, like one of my friends I was talking about, he's posting memes in favor of Bill Gates. What's all the problem? Why are people worried about Gates? He's a fine philanthropist.
I've never seen anyone promote Bill Gates. That's amazing.
Yeah, actually he is, yeah. So I would be
Gates the
savior. A little bit skeptical of whether there's any real traction in terms of numbers against Bill Gates. I think he probably, from what I understand, he invests a lot of money in media and public relations.
Well, my sister's in the medical field, and she had no idea what I was talking about. That was a month ago when I brought up Bill Gates is going to get shot probably because this guy's public. She had no idea what I was talking about. She said, "What does he have to do with anything?" So yes. I wouldn't say he's got much. I don't think anyone. Yeah.
As obvious as it is to us, I think for most people it's probably not something that's on their radar.
Oh, I don't think so. No. You're right. You're right. I think the normal person just thinks that he's this harmless.
He's trying to help people in India by paralyzing them.
And if you go to Snopes, of course, Snopes has faults.
Snopes, of course. Snopes will say that Woody Allen slash Bill Gates is a wonderful character, a philanthropist, and he cares about us. But I mean, is it so obvious that we're wrong?
Rick. What is the word philanthropist?
Yes.
The second you hear that word, you should pie them in the face.
Mm-hmm. I agree, and someone did do it.
Well, have you guys listened to Amazing Folly? Amazing Folly does amazing work connecting the dots of the enterprises that Bill Gates owns. Pardon me?
I would expect no less.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, well, have you listened to her Farce Value? I posted it on...
With the name like Amazing Folly, you're expecting it to be amazing, that's all.
Well, that's NLP.
I'm changing
my name to Amazing Fakeologist tomorrow.
Why not?
Amazing
We had what's his name? Oh God, I used to love him on radio.
Yeah, me too.
He's on Sirius. Sirius. What was his name? The guy with the big nose with the curly hair.
Howard Stern.
That was soon. I tell you, that was soon, right? You got to pay for that motherfucker now. That motherfucker, you know, can you imagine what his take on fucking COVID-19 is?
He's turned on Trump, of course. I think Stern. I don't listen to Stern anymore, but I think he'd be the first to get the vaccine. And
I think Trump's fucking awesome. Everyone said Orange Man bad. Trump, the arrangement seems right. The guy's a fucking legend.
Trump is great. He's going to line up the army to give everyone a shot. That's what we need.
Whoa, that's right.
Read that, Roller. Get your new newspapers out.
But that's Fauci. Fauci's got his little finger. No, dude. He's got his little finger up fucking Trump's bum hole.
He's got his finger in there. This is the problem. Trump is in the checkmate position. He can't win. The majority of the world has been convinced.
What are you talking about? Of course he'll win.
He can't win. No, I'm saying he can't win in the situation. I don't care who becomes president in November. It's he can't win in the situation, because even if he is against vaccination, the people want it. And if he doesn't give it to them, he's in trouble. So he can't win.
You're right. This is why
the president doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who's in charge, because he doesn't run the show. That should be so obvious by now.
Yeah.
And Trump is not on your side. He's not on our side. Yeah. We have to stop thinking you're going to be saved by this guy.
Well, it's not happening. I have been on about this whole, it's the QAnon crowd that think that he's a special guy that's stopping people. And I said to people, I said, you are locked down and locked in your house. And George Pell, the Catholic priest that got done for creating choir boys, he's free, but you are locked in your house, so work it out. There's no such thing as Q is just a complete and utter fake.
It's a controlled opposition idea run by the same people that bring the main story.
They create
the alternate story for you doubters like you and you and you. To grab onto something. We have to believe in something. All of us here, we all are clamoring, and we don't believe anything, so we're here. We're here in this space. We don't believe anything we're told, so we are trying to figure out what to believe in right here. That's all we do all day long. What do we believe in? We don't believe in the official story. We don't really believe in the opposing story, because it's full of holes. So we are really stuck. What do we believe?
In limbo.
Why are you not in front of the podium? Ab, why are you not in front of the podium right now with the White House behind you?
You're going to be shot.
Exactly. And that would be exactly where you went. If you had a bit of power and you were actually saying you were against the narrative, you would just be, you know, something they'd find something on your podcast that would be deemed as nasty, and you'd be gone.
Go pass.
You know, I've thought for years that if Jesus were actually to return and descend on a cloud of
he'd be arrested for non-social distancing.
A lot of Christians would be the first to reject him. They would.
For sure. Absolutely, because I listened to a fantastic chat by someone that I get directed to on Facebook, and they're a cutting edge Christian group, and they were saying that you must not listen to anything less than 100 years old that's been published by a Christian church is leading you in a very different direction than the actual Christians of 100 years ago plus, their sermons would not be allowed to be taught at schools or at church because they were being too politically incorrect. And I'm saying that the Christians are probably the worst people to listen to at the moment, the new Christians.
I just drove by our vacant airport here, and there's a big sign, a big electronic billboard that's flashing, "Save the world, wear a mask."
Exactly.
I want to mention this real quick.
It's in red and white, blood red sign, electronic sign, blood red. But of course, it was brought to you by CanadianMaskSupply.ca. So there you go.
Funny that.
Trudeau would be loving. Trudeau, go ahead,
Parson. Well, I just want to read from a couple of different versions, the King James Version of the Bible and the New International Version, Romans 13. Are you guys familiar with this at all?
I know that one will be very different than the other.
Yeah, so the King James says, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God, the powers that be ordained by God. Whoever resisteth the power resisteth the ordinance of God, and they resist shall receive themselves damnation." Now the New Version says, "Let everyone be subject to the governing authorities. For there is no authority except that which God established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. Consequently, whoever rebels against the authority is rebelling against
God." They put someone in between God and you.
Yes, authority.
So if you have any experience in Rolo, you probably don't, but in like AA or
that's
something.
That's all right. You're gone.
They talk about higher power. For a lot of Alcoholics Anonymous people, they're sort of resistant to the idea of religion, and they say, well, just, you know, you can make your own concept of God, and they call it a higher power.
Yeah.
Which I think is more analogous to what the original version is talking about, but they've replaced it with governing authorities.
Governing authorities. Much wonderful.
Different. Why don't they just put the word Trump in there?
or your local police.
Trump says, get a shot, get a shot.
As this guy said on the show I listened to, he said if you were to be in a room with a preacher from 1840, he said he would have more in common with a junkie off the street that suddenly became a Christian, that was blinded by the light and he was passionate and he had this strong belief to keep, you know, to say I've been saved. I've been getting shot at, selling drugs. I've been threatened with drugs. I've been threatened with jail. But I've now seen the light and I've got redemption. And the passion that this guy has, he said, would not be shared by your modern day pastor, who's this politically correct guy that's, you know, as you just said, then he's more, you know, if authority gave him the answer, he'd be more with the authority rather than God. We've been dumbed down with Christianity.
Big time.
We've been dumbed down with the message of truth. We've been dumbed down with so much over the last 100 years after the Rockefeller Group or Rockefellers, you know, took over the, you know.
Yeah, when they took over the railway. Hey, here we go. Should we go to the next newspaper?
Okay. I'm
going to
go.
Oh, by the way, did you guys listen to the podcast I put up, like Calcified Lies, who got found somewhere on the internet, guy's speculation?
Ab,
I'm trying. You're talking over me. But anyway, there was a comment that he read. He won't say where he found it, but he put the text of it in his YouTube comments, and I reposted it under Calcified Lies, who, by the way, he thinks we're controlled opposition because we say no one died, no one got hurt. But anyway, it was quite fascinating, this speculation. I don't know. I hope it wasn't QAnon that wrote it and the guy just found it, but...
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is Tom Dapper on Fakeologist.com.
Okay, anyway... This guy was saying in September they're going to hit us much harder, because they'll say they released everyone into the wild too early, and the numbers, the curve is coming back. You ever notice, by the way, that we keep getting new memes? First of all, we had to flatten the curve, and then we had to wait for the surge. It's just, what's next? So they say September.
What's next? I'll tell you what's next. Is when they really, when Henry Kissinger, when they release the real 4D testing, It'll just send the fucking world crazy. I know it. I know it.
Are you guys getting ready for the fall? The fall.
I'm not a prepper. I'm not a prepper, but look, all it needs is everyone to go, oh, fuck, COVID was bullshit. 9/11 was bullshit. And fucking...
Nobody's going to say that, though.
The death of JFK, bullshit.
No one is going to say any of that. That's a
why? Because they're worried about their own lives? Yeah. Okay.
That's a fakeologist speaking. That's the problem.
Good. You're right, man. I've known you since 2012.
Anyone listen to the Calify?
I've got to go.
All right, take care. I think Chrissy's calling.
You and Simon Shack, take care. Yeah.
Take care. Simon's not here, but I'll tell him. Rick, can you play Simon?
I could.
For the purposes of this call, Simon Shack is exoteric.
Yeah.
Or exoteric is Simon.
Well, I listened to your...
Rolo really was drowning in the sauce tonight.
He'd had a few. He'd had a few way before we started.
A few.
A few
dozen.
A few dozen.
It's about 40 a day.
About that. Yeah, I've got to go as well.
Is that possible? All right, Rick. Thank you, Rick.
Thank you, Rick. he had several drinks. That's all I'm going to say. But anyway, great chat in Fast Valley. Your guitaring was awesome. I was most impressed. Thought it was fantastic.
What time is it there? Is it 9?
To me, no, it's 7 to 9. So, yeah, no suspicious numbers, but I need to go and push children into their correct position of going to sleep, which will not happen
good
if I don't do it. Yeah,
hey,
all right,
good
guys.
Father.
Good night, XO.
No worries, man. Over and out.
What's our window?
Good night, XO.
So window.
Rick. Just call me Rick. Call me Rick. Okay. See if Fakeologist Mobile and Fast Value. Good chat.
Take care.
Very, very impressive.
Good chat.
Guitar. Robin, bye.
It would be around 7. Can I just stay in touch with you and then see how things are working on your end and we can just whittle down a time?
Yes, when you say evening, when does evening start? That's a good place to start from for now.
7 p.m.,
okay.
1900 hours.
7 to X, so, I'll talk to the missus. I don't know what her plans are, but she's got things, so I always have to check.
Yeah. All right. She's got a... All right, nice chatting with you, Forest Valley, and...
I'm happy you're working.
Be well down there.
That's awesome.
Pardon me?
I'm happy you're working. That's awesome. I wish I could do the same.
No, I'm sure most people wish they could just stop this nonsense. It's really bad.
Yeah, it is.
I really feel badly for most people that are locked up. I just wish they could see the truth, but I don't know. If you can't see it now, I don't see how you can ever see it.
That's another thing I find so disturbing about my, who I used to think were otherwise well-meaning friends, is their total lack of empathy for the bottom rung of the economic ladder who's, being forced out of work and to not have paychecks and the amount of stress that they're going through. They seem to have zero concern for those people. And what I can't figure out is, what is it that makes somebody, assuming COVID is real, it's infected with COVID more value as a person than the person with a couple of kids, maybe at a minimum wage job that can't work and is, can't pay his bills and better. Why is that other person? And chances are that person's over 85 anyway. So they're sacrificing the young for the very old. It's really disturbing to me. And they're very sanctimonious about it at the same time. It's bizarre and disappointing.
This whole thing is turning everything upside down and shaking it about. So it's, we're learning a lot about people right now. It's
Indeed.
Quite the test.
Indeed.
Quite the disturbing test. But we'll talk to you and your wife later on.
All right. Have a good day. Bye.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you. really the end of it, and that's all, folks.